Welcome to The Mom Voice. This is Lauren
and Sarah.
We've teamed up with MomCast to bring you the news you need to know in a special series from The Mom Voice podcast.
Each week, we'll be sitting down with Emmy Award-winning newscaster Emma Jade to bring you the headlines of the week.
So join us here and get informed to help your family thrive.
Together, we'll figure it all out. Welcome to your Mommy Morning Show.
But first, we want to talk to you about the Pura Smart Home Fragrance Diffuser. Okay, I love scents, and I love having my home smell the very best that it can. With the Pura Smart Home device, they've created a natural, pet and kid-friendly product that allows you to set schedules and manage your fragrances from your phone. I love the variety of scents that Pura has. They're partnered with top brands like Volcano, Nest, Votivo, Times, and the seasonal variety right now are just the best. There's so many yummy pumpkin scents available. You've got to go check it out. So if you're wanting to give your home a little extra boost this season, go over to trypura.com and at checkout, use code MOMVOICE for 15% off your order. Okay, back to the show. It's the week of November 4th, 2021. Emma, what do we need to know?
Without a doubt, the biggest headline of the week. Children between the ages of 5 to 11 can now get the Pfizer COVID vaccine. The CDC director just signed off on it Tuesday night, which means pediatric vaccines can be administered by healthcare providers. Now, before we really dive into this, because there's a ton of information I'm going to share with you, I do want to make sure that for everyone listening, you are not misinterpreting my telling you of these facts and this humongous story as me pushing the vaccine on you. What I do as a news journalist is inform, and then you, as the listener, get to decide for yourself. I provide facts and information and studies, and then you, as a listener, are able to hopefully make a decision that is comfortable for you and for your family. That is literally my purpose as someone in the news industry for almost 15 years. So again, as we listen to all of this, regardless of how you feel, I just hope the biggest thing that you take away from this is information, because information is power. So with that said, let's dive into some of these facts. More than 28 million children are now eligible for this vaccine. The CDC director signed off on it after a unanimous recommendation from the CDC's advisory committee, who were highly supportive of the vaccine. So you're probably wondering, why should kids get the vaccine? Especially since most children don't get nearly as sick from COVID-19 as adults. Well, let's look at the numbers. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 1.9 million cases of COVID in this age group between the ages of 5 and 11, more than 8,300 hospitalizations and 94 deaths. COVID-related illnesses like MIS C, have you heard of that yet? Or it's really called multi-inflammatory syndrome. That's the most common in this age group, and it occurs several weeks after infection. Children are also at risk for long COVID, where symptoms like fatigue, lack of taste, smell, all that stays with them for a long period of time. One of the biggest concerns, though, for parents with getting this vaccine for their children, and what a lot of people have been hearing, is the risk of myocarditis. Have you heard about this? It's inflammation of the heart muscle. It is very rare and most commonly reported in boys and young men under the age of 30 after the second dose of an mRNA vaccine. So an mRNA vaccine is a type of vaccine that uses a copy of a molecule, it's called a messenger RNA, to produce an immune response. So the COVID vaccine is an mRNA vaccine. Doctors, part of the study, and the CDC committee said they do not believe children in this age group need to worry about that side effect of myocarditis. Again, it is rare and COVID is a bigger worry, according to the doctors, a part of this committee. Some other facts that you need to know about this massive headline that is just eating up all of the news sites. Pfizer's vaccine for this age group comes in a smaller dose, 10 micrograms compared to 30 micrograms given to those between the ages of 12 and up, actually. It's given in two doses, 3 weeks apart. Vials of the pediatric vaccine, which again, come in a smaller dose, have an orange cap and label. A pediatrician with the CDC said during the presentation on Tuesday that the most common side effects of this vaccine in this age group include arm pain, swelling at the injection site, fever, fatigue, and achiness, but that side effects in kids may be less common than what they've seen in teens and in adults. So if you're wondering, when can you get it? You got to call your pediatrician. On Friday, so last Friday, millions of doses were shipped to providers all across the country after the Food and Drug Administration granted emergency use authorization for this lower dose, the Pfizer vaccine for children. A lot of people have been asking too, why is it just Pfizer? Why isn't it Moderna? Why isn't it Johnson & Johnson? Well, that's because their specific vaccines for children are still in the study phase. They're still trying to figure out what works. The White House says the U.S. already has enough doses for everyone in this age group to be fully vaccinated. I threw this out on my MomCast Instagram page, and I want to read some of the responses that I've been getting. One came from Jessica. This story made her feel stressed. Jamie says she's not excited about this news. Andrea said she hopes her kids won't be forced. Her kids already had COVID and didn't feel well for one day. Jen says her whole family has been vaccinated but wants more testing on this age group. Alicia says, God bless science. Meredith said she prayed for this. Shane simply says, woohoo. According to the MomCast poll that I threw out there, 34% will get their kids vaccinated, 66% will not. Lauren and Sarah, I want to know how you guys feel.
Well, I feel a little uneasy about it. I probably will hold off looking into that. I do vaccinate my kids. I mean, they're up to date with everything else, but I think I will give it a little bit of time. I think it worries me a little bit with the little guys.
I don't know, Emma, to be honest. It is such a complex thing for me for some reason. Like on one side, I am super grateful and like, I think it's amazing that those kids with like the really high risk health situations that they do have that option and availability. I'm not in that boat, so I haven't been following it super closely to be totally honest with you, Emma. Like I haven't, this is why we do News to Know, you know, so we get the headlines and stuff. So I haven't even looked into like the data behind really how it got approved and anything like that. So I need to have an appointment with my doctor. I need to, you know, at their next well check, this will definitely be a conversation, but it's very conflicting feelings for me for some reason. And I hesitate in even saying the word conflicting because it's just like, I'm super grateful that we have that technology and the ability to have vaccines. But then at the same time, like I do just in my gut feel like it happens so fast, you know, and I'm just not used to that.
Right.
And so it's just like doing that extra level of due diligence.
Which everyone should too. And again, it's funny because I feel like that's exactly the vibe that I'm getting from people who are writing in to me on social media that, yeah, I'm very grateful this is happening. I feel like every side of the spectrum has been covered with people that I've been hearing back from. Some people are really upset about this news. Some people think that the government's forcing their children to do something. Some people are extremely happy, excited. It's really hard to gauge how everyone is doing collectively because it is such a polarizing issue. But Sarah, I think you nailed it on the head. You have this conversation with your pediatrician. That's the most important thing. And then you do what's best for you and for your family. No one right now is being forced to have this vaccine for their child. Is there a possibility that there could be mandates in the future in some states? Yeah, there is a possibility of that. Now that it has been cleared to this level, technically, they, you know, governments or businesses, whatever it might be, they are able to now mandate it. Will that happen? I don't know. Governor Newsom over in California, he has mentioned that to get schools really back and going, that he would look into possibly mandating the vaccine for children. Has that happened just yet? Have we heard anything? No. So I think that's one of the biggest things that freaks a lot of parents. A lot of parents don't want to be told what to do with their children. They want to be in charge. And I guess we'll see how it plays out.
That whole mandate situation, and this is not a political statement like at all, I just feel like that's a whole nother conversation. Like aside from even the vaccines or anything, like to me personally, that becomes like a bigger conversation about what the government should and should not have the right to tell us what to do with our children, our bodies, like all of that. And I know, I mean, you can talk about that on abortion, on so many different things, like where the government comes into play with like healthcare. And it just becomes like such a big, big conversation that I'm not going to like share one way or another here because that's not what we're here to do. But I won't lie. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's just a little wild to me. I mean, I get it for adults, right? If you're like an adult and like you're choosing to work somewhere that, and that's your opinion, that's your option, right? You have other options, but it's a whole nother conversation when it's our children. And again, I probably most likely will get them vaccinated. It's just like stepping back and looking at the big picture. I just don't know when your children don't have those options and different availabilities to go get another job or pick another school, if that's fair, to be honest.
You know, I think about how lucky we are to kind of live in this. We really haven't dealt with anything like this in our lifetimes. How lucky are we for that? Because this is a disaster.
Yeah.
It is scary. There is so many unknowns. But I find some relief when I talk to my dad who lived through going through the whole polio thing and having to get a vaccine through that. And it almost reminds me how grateful I am to be living when I do and to not have gone through something like this before, just to take a deep breath, realize that this is something brand new. This is a pandemic. This is a global pandemic. And at the end of the day, get to know all the information, get to know as many facts as you can by trusted sources, and then make a decision that, again, is comfortable for you and for your family. But boy, you guys, the responses I've been getting on this from people on social media are so wild. I'm a little put off by some responses. I don't dig too deep into some of my DMs only because people get really riled up about the news right now, because it's a crazy news cycle. The news has never been this insane. I mean, I've been in the business for about 15 years, so I can't really dial it back too far, but I've never been in a news cycle that politically, health-wise, everything is just so much news and information. And I think people are tired and they're burnt out. And even getting news that, you know, there's a vaccine for your kids to hopefully keep them safe from COVID has brought out some really interesting and I don't want to say mean because it's not mean comments, just very fiery,
yeah.
I guess.
Just very polarizing feelings.
And very
and
polarizing.
I understand those. I mean, yes, just like you said, we're all beat down on this conversation.
Like, hello. Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, it's constant. And it has turned into like such a, unfortunately, like a divisive issue. And I wish it wouldn't. Be, but
I do too.
Hey,
I agree.
We can change. We can be nicer to each other.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's another thing that you can say to your kids too, is just, it is a scary time with a lot of people who have different opinions and there's a lot of information coming at all of us, but being kind has never been more important.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree.
Another big story you need to know about: voters in Minneapolis rejected a ballot measure that would have overhauled the police department there. The measure was drafted after the murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer and as Black Lives Matter protests seized the country. During this week's huge vote, the measure failed over concerns of public safety. If it would have passed, it would have given the city council power to create a new Department of Public Safety and then do away with requirements to employ a minimum number of police officers tied to the city's population. The fact that voters here turned down this measure is a step back for the movement to reduce or eliminate the role of police in the United States. Well, it is November, and you're probably making your holiday travel plans or at least thinking about them. But experts now say it might be smarter to drive. American Airlines had a travel nightmare this week, and it started over the weekend and then bled into the week. Thousands of flights canceled. So it all started, according to American Airlines, as a weather issue in Texas. In Dallas, that's where the airline's main hub is. High winds shut down runways and those Closures caused staffing issues, which rippled across the country and then started to cancel flights. And you remember, we talked about this earlier last month when Southwest canceled thousands of flights in one weekend. Again, they blamed weather, which then caused staffing issues. So to avoid this, especially as we get into the busy travel season, experts say your safest and your best bet to get to your destination on time is just to drive. Speaking of travel, though, if you are looking to get out of the country, it looks like you won't have to wait as long for your passport. Some good news. The State Department announced its routine processing of a passport application now takes about 8 to 11 weeks. The only reason why I'm really telling you this is because in mid-July, the department said wait times for both new and renewal passport applications would be up to 18 weeks. So this is a lot better. If you pay a fee for expedited processing, wait times are now at about 5 to 7 weeks. That's down from 12 weeks earlier this summer, by the way. The State Department said previous delays were due to tremendous backlog caused by none other than the pandemic. Got a new NBC News poll to share with you. President Biden's approval rating is slipping. 42% approve of the president's job. That's down 7 points from August. 72%, half of those polled, by the way, are Democrats here, think the nation is going the wrong direction. So I threw this out on my Momcast Instagram page, and yikes. The poll was not favorable for President Biden. 90% did not approve of the president thus far. The president spent much of his week at a climate change summit in Scotland with world leaders, where he said he hopes that the U.S. will lead the charge on reducing emissions and keeping global temperature rise in check. The president has promised to cut U.S. greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. Another really big headline from this week that I want to dive more into with you, and I'm sure you saw this. No, a lot of COVID talk. Don't roll your eyes just yet. Hang with me here. The global death toll, though, from COVID-19 topped 5 million in less than 2 years. We hit the 5 million mark earlier this week. Together, the United States, the European Union, Britain, and Brazil account for 1/8 of the world's population, but nearly half of all reported deaths. The U.S. alone has recorded over 740,000 lives lost. That's more than any other nation. The death toll as tallied by Johns Hopkins University is about equal to the populations of Los Angeles and San Francisco combined. So that really puts it into perspective there. It rivals the number of people killed in battles among nations since 1950. Globally, COVID-19 is now the third leading cause of death after heart disease and stroke. Okay, I want to talk about this study that just came out, and I really want your guys' input on this. So kids' screen time during the pandemic nearly doubled. A study published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics found that children spent nearly 8 hours in front of a screen a day. That's double their pre-pandemic estimates of nearly 4 hours per day. And by the way, this study does not include time spent online for virtual classes. It only focused on recreational activities like streaming, gaming, social media, texting, video chatting, surfing the web. And according to the study, children who reported more screen time also reported suffering in other areas of their lives. More screen time was directly linked to poorer mental health and greater stress. So this study looked at about 5,500 kids between the ages of 10 to 14. And the author of the study did give some suggestions on how we can cut back on the amount of time our kids are in front of these screens. The first one is screen time limits. Definitely encourage your kids to avoid screens before bed. That was a really big tip. Also, model device-free behavior. We need to lead by example as parents and put our devices away during family time, meals, and not frequently interrupt our interactions with our kids with our devices. Another really interesting point that was mentioned was the fact that during the pandemic, we almost thought like, oh, you know, our kids can connect with their friends through gaming or through FaceTiming, whatever it might be. But turns out that was not helpful at all, that even FaceTiming and connecting with your friends that way the study found that that was not beneficial and didn't create actual good relationships. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, when you first started, I absolutely was going to say, I bet it's because of the online schooling. I mean, that's a huge part of the pandemic and a huge part of the day. But when you said it didn't include that, that's really actually shocking. I mean, it's super discouraging because I do think it just builds bad habits and truly like addictions. Like it's like almost an addictive behavior, you know, when they get so glued in and zoned into those screens. But yeah, absolutely. We've got to intervene right here, right now. That is something that has to be avoided and prevented. And I mean, now that there is so much more opportunity and things are open, we need to use it in different ways. We just have to. We have to help the kids.
Well, that's my question, Lauren. Are there any things that work or are any things that work for you and for your kids? Like what kind of things do you have in place?
For sure, like time frames, and for sure, you know, even most of the apps or consoles or things have like timeouts. Like you hit the timeout, you don't even really have to be the bad guy. It just locks out or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
And I do agree, like, you know, kind of if they do get screen time, maybe right after school and not so close to bedtime. I do agree with that.
And then I would just jump in there and say, like, I've recently really been trying to encourage play dates within my neighborhood, which is kind of a new venture for me. And I'll be honest, like, not one I like gravitate to right away because, you know, it's just one more or two more bodies in my house who I'm caring for, and there's the mess and everything. But I do see such like benefits to having friends over to play and, you know, them get off the screens, really, that I'm willing to make that sacrifice and do a little bit more cleaning. So I think that is key. If you haven't yet, start doing play dates. It's a game changer.
But you're right. It is added work. That's, I think, the problem. During the pandemic, we were just looking for anything for just a little bit of relief as parents. And screens are a bit of a relief for us. Our kids zone out. But according to the study, it has just gotten out of control across the country. And the fact that there is a direct link between more screen time and poor mental health in our children, we have to intervene. We have to intervene now. And Lauren, I love that you make the bad guy be the device. So the bad guy locks you out, not you, not the parent. It's the device that's going to be done.
Right, right. No, I mean, absolutely. Almost every game console, even I think some of even the streaming devices have like max outs. So, I mean, you can just set them and hopefully, you know, within reason, maybe 60 minutes and that's it, like, or even less, whatever. So, yeah, I think that could be a great option or suggestion.
Looking ahead to the weekend, do not forget to set your clocks back. Daylight savings ends on Sunday, November 7th. But, and this is a big but, to all my friends who live in Arizona and Hawaii, this does not apply to us because we do not have daylight savings in just those two states. Isn't that weird? I saw this from Nested Bean. I thought these were some pretty good tips, even though I live in Arizona, so I don't have to worry about this. But in case you do not, some good tips for moms and dads because daylight savings is an absolute headache for parents. They have some tips for us, just two options to try and make sure your kids aren't too impacted by this change. The first option they have for you, stick to your current routine. Just follow the clock and after a few days, your baby will adjust. Their best tip with this, if you go this route, try to keep your nursery dark in the morning to avoid an even earlier morning wake up due to the shift in sunrise. Same for that at night. Just try and keep it dark. Option two, adjust your schedule by starting a week early. So starting right now, push your feedings and your naps back by 15 minutes every couple of days until you've reached 1 hour pushed. So when the time change rolls around, you're already on that time. Wondering, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever ordered something online and it came and it definitely was not what you thought was coming? Well, the Better Business Bureau, or the BBB, has a new warning for all of us on a scam involving holiday decorations. And it's not just one in particular, it's quite a few scams that are happening where you'll see these beautiful holiday decorations and people are buying them. And then they're coming either the completely wrong thing, wrong size, it's kind of hilarious when you see some of the things that people are getting, but it's not hilarious when it happens to you. Some people ordered or say that they ordered what seemed like perfect decorations online for Halloween. However, when the package was delivered, it was nothing like what they found online. Sometimes the result was a poorly manufactured miniature version. Isn't that wild? Of course, there's no way to return these items or to even get a refund. You can basically kiss your money goodbye. While this scam started with Halloween decorations, the BBB does say this could impact Christmas or holiday decorations as well. So what do we need to do to avoid becoming a victim? It sounds pretty simple, but a lot of people don't do it, especially when we're shopping online. But we need to research the company that we are buying from. Don't just click on the ad and think, oh, this is a cheaper version or whatever it is. You need to do your due diligence and be wary of deals that seem too good to be true. If it seems too good to be true, according to the BBB, that means it probably is. I want to end with an iconic movie, one that is synonymous with Christmas cheer, and that is Elf. I hope you enjoyed the first one because according to Will Ferrell, we are not getting an Elf 2. So Elf 2 was shelved after the star, Will Ferrell, turned down $29 million offered to star in the sequel. $29 million he said no to.
No
way. The 2003 film, I know, can you even imagine? The 2003 film is one of the most successful Christmas movies of all time. Get this. It grossed $220 million. The budget for this movie, by the way, was only $33 million. So The Hollywood Reporter recently sat down with Will Ferrell, and they talked about his iconic role and why he walked away from such a lucrative deal for a sequel. Ferrell said that he thought the movie would be a total bomb, and he could not have honestly promoted it, which makes me love Will Ferrell, right?
Oh my gosh, though. Will, have some faith. Well, I will say sequels are super tricky. They're super tricky. I would say a lot of sequels bomb. And when Elf is such a classic now and it's like such an iconic movie, I can kind of respect the artist not trying to redo it or
it sounds
and
so
ruin
funny
it.
Saying that. Yes. It sounds funny to say that about Elf.
I know.
But really, I totally agree with you. To turn down $29 million, I mean, the things I would do for $29 million.
That is a lot of money. Mad props, Will, for like really staying true to like your gut. But that's insane. $29 million.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah, I want to know what is your favorite Christmas movie? And then Lauren, I want you to say yours as well.
My favorite Christmas movie, and I watch it every single year, is Four Christmases. I love it so much. Vince Vaughn.
Is that
Reese
Witherspoon?
Yes.
That is the most random. That's so random.
No, Emma, start a tradition this year. You and your husband, we like love it and we laugh so hard every single year. Tim McGraw's in the movie. Robert
That's
Duvall.
Right.
Sissy Spacek. There's so many famous people in it. It's like, it makes me laugh literally every single time. Those two are just hilarious.
That is so random. Lauren, what's yours?
That's funny because last year we watched it and it was the first time we've watched that movie in probably 10 years. And but that's a good question. We love Elf. We love all the classics, little claymations that just feels like Christmas,
oh,
like
I love
Santa
those
Claus
ones.
And
yes.
Rudolph.
Yes.
Totally. And we love the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol. Like that one is so well done. And oh my gosh, this is throwing me off. I know there's one I'm missing, like a favorite I can't think of.
I have to jump in. I have another one that's kind of an adult one too,
oh
but Christmas Vacation, like,
oh yeah,
next level. I die.
Is that Chevy Chase?
Yes.
I've never actually seen that.
Lauren?
No.
Oh my gosh.
And I actually have never seen the one with Ralphie and the BB gun.
I hate that one.
Oh, what's that one called?
A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story.
Yes.
Emma, what about you?
No, I love Home Alone so
okay, yes.
much.
Yes, there was one I knew
so
I was
weird.
Forgetting. Yep, absolutely.
Yes, I feel like it's so random, but I also really love The Holiday.
Oh,
with Cameron Diaz and Kate
yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We love that one. That's my sister's favorite. We do love that one.
But then again,
yeah.
With my kids, though, I have to do the claymation ones because it's tradition for me. Like when that was on TV growing up, you knew
exactly.
The
it
close.
Felt like Christmas. Totally. As hokey as they are, you just are like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas.
It's so sweet.
So
all right,
fun.
You guys, that's everything that you need to know this week.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Emma.
Of course.
Okay, well, that's going to do us for this episode of MomCast, the news you need to know. Find Emma on Instagram throughout the week at EmmaJadeTV, and then you can find Lauren and I at the Mom Voice Podcast. Feel free to ask us any questions, come say hi. We're over there throughout the day, and we love hearing from listeners. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please consider heading over wherever you listen and leaving us a 5-star rating and a review if you have not yet. And then absolutely the best thing you could ever, ever do for us would be to share us on social media with your friends, family, anything like that. It is always super helpful. Lauren and I are back on Monday with a brand new episode of The Mom Voice. And then we'll be back here with Emma on Thursday for another episode of MomCast, the news you need to know. All right, Lauren.
Take care of each other.
Bye-bye.